I thought it would be really sweet. I was thinking it would be like a liqueur.
I think it is.
I mean, I guess.
Or it tastes more like
yeah, one. Yeah, I thought it would be syrupy.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's I'm not, glad it's not. Not got
no.
That.
The bottle was $6.99. There was no.
Annie McDowell, your taste, honey.
I've never seen it on a menu.
No.
I have to be honest, it took me a long time to find it in the grocery store.
Like, where do I go?
I thought they didn't have it, and I was going to go to BevMo after. I was like, they just don't sell it. Yeah. It's not a thing.
Oh, I love that you were going to go there for me. Welcome back, everyone, to Salem and Binks Present. I am your host, Nina. I'll be your Salem today.
Ooh, I'm Briga Bay. I'm back. Co-host.
Co-host.
I'm the co-ho. Do I sound like I'm drunk? Because I'm not.
I know, we're not. I had one sip. What's happening?
It's been a long day.
It has been. Well, no one has had a longer day than... Than Phil
Connors
in this film. Obviously, from the title, you can guess. This episode, we are going to be talking about the ever amazing movie
Groundhog Day.
We didn't do a New Year's Eve episode. We like to try to do at least an episode of holiday. This year, I was just like, nope. We have done
we were
a lot.
Having way too much fun.
And we were partying.
The holidays were a blast. We went to an amazing party. I have to say, I co-hosted it.
It was incredible.
It was so fun.
Like, I was so inspired.
Then we were so tired.
We're exhausted.
That we're it so just, tired. Yeah, time. Yeah.
And I just thought, you know what? That's fine. I think we're good. I think it would be fun instead to do kind of a wild card episode. I don't think we'll do another Groundhog Day episode because this is the one.
Yeah.
So that being said, thank you for joining us again. Hope you had a lovely holiday season. And we're kicking off the new year. So send in your requests because this is the beginning of 2020. There are many a holiday to come. We want to know what you want to listen to. We want to know what movies you want us to cover. Send them our
way. Yeah, even just like little random holidays. Yeah. Like
TV movies. I live for that shit. Bring it my way. The fact that we have had to try, this is like the second attempt on this, yes. A little bit.
We hadn't seen each other for maybe a whole 2 weeks. So it's, there was too long so much to catch up on. And we tried to record this last night, but only recorded like a teeny bit and realized it was getting really late. So in true Groundhog Day fashion, we decided to do the exact same thing today.
Again, the next day. Exactly. Today, however many todays we can have.
It's Groundhog Day again. And here we are.
It is a tradition for Brie and I and our friends to get together and watch this movie. I think we've done it every year on Groundhog
for
Day.
For years, yeah. And on Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And last year, your boyfriend, Pat, made us sweet vermouth on the rocks with a twist. So I had to continue the tradition because I knew Pat was going to be out. I read that that was Harold Ramis's wife's favorite drink.
Oh.
So that's why he put that in there.
Harold. That's really cute, actually.
If you're unfamiliar, a twist is some lemon. I put a lot of lemon in this.
It's good. All right, folks. Well, to kick this off, we're going to go ahead and we are going to read that B.O.B. That's the back of box description, the back of the VHS or DVD sleeve of this film. And I did find a really cool one. I'll post it in the show notes. And I think it's like the original VHS.
VHS,
yeah. Yeah, it looks great. So this is the B.O.B. for Groundhog Day. Begins with a quote from the movie. Do you ever have deja vu? Didn't you just ask me that? It's like I'm doing a horrible audition. Bill Murray is at his wry, wisecracking best in this riotous romantic comedy about a weatherman caught in a personal time warp. On the worst day of his life. That's a lot of W's
you did
in
great,
a sentence.
Though. That
Thank
was great.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. Teamed with a relentlessly cheery producer, Annie McDowell, and a smart aleck cameraman, Chris Elliott, TV weatherman Phil Connors, Bill Murray, is sent to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania to cover the annual Groundhog Day festivities. But on his way out of town, Phil is caught in a giant blizzard, which he failed to predict, and finds himself stuck in small town hell. Just when things couldn't get worse, they get worse. Why does that make me laugh? That's funny.
Because they do.
That's funny. Phil wakes the next morning to find it's Groundhog Day all over again, and again, and again. Cheered by critics as Bill Murray's best movie ever, Groundhog Day is a comic time warp anyone should be happy to get stuck in.
Great job.
Rated PG. Okay.
It's rated PG?
It's rated PG.
You know what? There are no curse words, really. Or like F words.
No, I don't think there are any. And I don't think he... I'm like trying to think if there's... There's not really any sex.
No, there's not. There's no like... I mean, there's like insinuated.
There's it's nodding too.
I saw this movie in the theaters.
Gobbler's Knob.
I always... Okay, when I was a kid, I did not... think that was funny. As an adult, I think it's very
the
funny.
Funniest thing.
And then I bet in like the 1800s when they made Gobbler's Knob, it was not funny. And now it's like... Yeah, so I saw this when I was 7.
Oh,
in the
okay.
theaters.
You remember seeing it?
I remember
in the theater.
It like it was yesterday. I saw it in our local mall theater, which doesn't exist anymore.
Like Laguna Hills Mall?
No, Mission Viejo Mall.
They had a theater.
They had a theater.
Is this when that mall was brown?
Yes.
It was all brown, 70s yes. brown. I remember. Yes. I was really little.
There was a Dairy Queen right across from the entrance to the theater. So when you came out, I would like beg my mom, like, can we get like a deli bar or whatever? But I saw so many good movies at that theater.
Oh my God, how cute.
I remember it was my mom, my brother, and my grandparents. And then my dad was upset that night. I ran home like, Dad, we saw Groundhog Day. And he was like mad that we went without him.
Oh my God, how funny. I didn't know that you remembered seeing it in the theater. That's precious.
1993.
Oh my God, how cute.
And then we had it on VHS.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that. It's one of those funny classics that you, even though it's very, it is obviously super repetitive, which is why this episode might be a little short. It's very, like, that's what makes it work. And you still don't mind that at all. And I do think there must have been some concern of that not being funny after a certain point. And I think they managed to keep it not only entertaining the whole time, but consistently very funny throughout.
It is repetitive, but it doesn't feel repetitive. I think because there's a progression to every repeating scene.
Mm-hmm.
Either he's going to learn something.
Yeah.
Or he's going to take the approach of, like, hopeless, like, depressive and just end it all. And,
yeah.
You know, trying to kill himself or, like, he just doesn't care anymore. So it's interesting each scene to see. Did you think it was weird that it's so early?
What do you mean?
Like the...
Oh, the event?
The event's like at 7 in the morning or something.
It must be like the point of it because it's like an animal and the animals wake up early.
Like it's first light.
It's like the... Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought that was weird. It was
early. I think the party planner and us and the
like,
both of us are like,
no. Started at 2.
Yeah. Kick that shit in the afternoon.
And then... Then the night goes on.
Yeah.
Because they go right into breakfast right after.
Yeah. And it's actually, for the movie, works out really well.
Because you get a full day.
You get a full day. And we will see what Phil ends up making of that day. Fiona's here. She's our groundhog today. Fiona.
She is our groundhog, huh?
I know. She's
little... sleeping. She didn't see her shadow because we're in California and we... don't have 6 more weeks of winter.
Because we didn't get one in the first place.
I never understood the whole groundhog concept because we didn't have winter. And also, it didn't make sense to me. I would think...
Never have gotten it.
But I would think if it saw its shadow that, spring's happening. It's getting
sunny. Like there was light.
Until I went to school in the Midwest and I realized, oh no, it's sunny all the cold time.
Uh-huh.
And then when it gets cloudy, it starts warming up.
Oh.
And then it might snow again or rain, and then spring comes. So really, like, when it's cloudy, it does mean spring's coming.
Oh, okay. So if that, because the sun or the, yeah. The
it's going, sunny when it's freezing.
Uh-huh. And that would explain all the, like, everything being trapped.
Yes, it makes no sense.
The dryness. There's dryness, yet moisture everywhere. It makes zero sense. We don't know winter.
We don't know. Yeah, we're
I forgot lucky. What galoshes are. I don't know galoshes. These things. So it's okay. It's okay. But we appreciate it from afar.
It is odd that I remember they taught us like first grade or kindergarten. They're talking about weather and Groundhog Day comes up.
Yeah.
But to think that it's really just one town in Pennsylvania.
One little place in this little. Yeah. That always struck me weird. Yeah.
Pennsylvania German. Like, it's so specific.
And yet it's on the calendar.
Yes, every calendar.
That is a very important day. It's a very strange holiday. Well, I mean, coming from us Californians. But I guess if winter were in our lives, then yes. That would I'd want to know. I'd be like, this is tough. Really? Six more weeks? We got
yeah,
six more weeks?
Yeah, no, that it is tough.
Yeah.
Because it's so, the seasonal depression is real.
Totally. That is something Bree has told me a lot about, and I believe it.
And then one day, everything just changes. Ooh. And it's like, yes, it's so weird. It's not just like, oh, spring's coming. Oh my gosh, the grass is green. It's yeah. literally like you open the door one day and everything is in bloom and you're like, oh my, it happened. Like it yeah. happened. Like, yeah. like Santa came. Like it feels like that, but with
that's spring. So nice.
This might be a little boring that we're talking about weather. This is what this movie is about.
Yeah.
A weatherman.
It is. Two weather beings, essentially, if you think about it.
Yeah, two weathermen. And they're both named Phil.
Which is perfect. Phil, the groundhog, predicts you're in hell for much longer than you think. And then Phil Connors experiences hell for much longer than he thinks.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucks. What's kind of interesting is, we've grown up with this movie. So for us, this is a concept that has been out there and has been kind of retold, redone, not specifically on Groundhog Day, but they've used other holidays like 12 Days of Christmas. Yes. And they've, you know, there's a lot of other movies that have been influenced by this, but it is interesting to kind of go back and watch kind of the original mm-hmm. and really see where that comes from and how that probably affected an audience back then. It's kind of neat to think about.
Yeah, basically this movie is like learning to make progress in your life. It might take a really long time to get to where you need to get.
It's very metaphorical,
yes.
actually. And I did read that there were, like, religious followings that really appreciated this movie and sort of used it in their teachings. Because
hugely.
And if you think about it, I mean, it is a lot about what you just said. Like,
yeah, you could be stuck at the same job and driving that same commute and hating your coworkers or your boss and you're not doing anything to
make
a change.
Yeah.
Because nothing changes for Phil until he changes it.
Yeah.
He has to make that step.
Yeah.
To better himself.
And it may seem like a lot, or it might eventually become second nature the more you make it a habit. And I do think by the end of the film, that he has a full arc. I mean, he totally adapts. And it's not just like, oh, I finally did the right thing and thank God that's over. It's like he's a totally changed person when he comes out of it.
Yes. It just took him an estimated 10 to 12 years
to
get one day right.
That was so interesting when I read that. Just the fact that after several days, there's that day where he's sitting there and he's watching Doris the waitress drop quarters or coins.
Yes.
And then by that point, the fact that he can predict every single motion occurring around him.
Gust of wind.
You're like, oh, this has gone on for much longer.
Yes.
You understand the time lapse is way more continuous. It's not just we're watching every day. It's like he's been there for a long, long time.
Yeah, and I didn't notice that when I was a kid because I kind of only saw it at face value of there was, say, 38 days or how many days I could imagine. But later hearing, like, I've seen this movie over 100 times. Or the fact that he learned the piano so well.
Yeah.
That takes years
to
play that well. And like you said, the car, the bank robbery.
Yeah.
Felix.
Yeah, it's like, did we bring two bags or one? Quarters. I don't know. Yeah. Like, how, like, adorable and quaint.
And then all the times he tries to save, you know, the kid or the old man. Yeah. Just there's so many things that, like, we don't see actually how long that takes. Yeah. And then learning all the townspeople's backstories.
And I think the writers just did it right. They got down the perfect glimpses to show us. And I'm sure after several drafts, however many, I'm sure that was not an easy task. You know, this is kind of a first of its kind. It's a tough one to go, okay, sure, the same thing happens every day. But it's, again, it's just like your circumstances. Maybe things are out of your control, but you can control how you react, right? Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what Phil has to learn. And so I think the writers had to be really smart about exactly what they were showing. But they, I mean, it's classic. They did a great job.
His world stays exactly the same.
Yeah.
So it's all his reaction to everything around him is what matters. Mm-hmm.
I read that they were thinking about starting it. Right in the middle. Yeah, right in the middle of the movie.
Kind of like the part where he steals the bag of money.
Yeah.
Like seeing, you know, gust of wind, car,
like he calls dog it. Barks. I think from a comedic standpoint, that's hilarious. And mm-hmm. I do think in writing and in film school, I mean, they really do teach you, you know, start in the middle and kind of, you know, but I think.
Or you can Tarantino it where you go
Exactly. Yeah, as well as quick cuts and crazy shit goes down in Groundhog Day.
But I think they thought maybe people would be confused. Why does he know this?
That, and I think they did it much better this way because I do feel like we would not have connected with him or with the other people. I think it was very important for us to see not only how he regularly is and treats people, but how they respond to him and how they kind of view him as this sort of sarcastic asshole. It's just what's his name? Larry keeps calling him a prima donna, like constantly. And I thought it was so important that they show the day before.
Yes. Well, they really lead us into it that one, he's not staying at that station.
Yeah.
big networks are excited, you know, to hire him.
Yeah, he's like, screw you guys in this little dinky station.
He says he hates this town.
Yeah.
He's not going to stay one more night. He's just, they really like start leading us into.
There's a lot of just pure bitchiness. Like he's what I guess you would call a big girl's blouse. I mean, he is so sassy. It starts out with Phil in his element. He's a weatherman. He's doing his thing. He's in front of his blue screen. He's got the motions and everything. And he is charismatic. Like, I can see why he's got, you know, fans and stuff. But you can tell there's an ego. There's a little bit
of a... He's a little cocky.
Yeah, he's full of it.
I do have a Pavlov's dog reaction when I see his hand in front of the blue screen. I know, like, something good's happening.
Yeah.
Like, this movie's starting.
Yeah.
I've seen this movie so many times. We're in for a good time.
I love that. I think it's weird. I had kind of a memory when I rewatched it today. I feel like I must have seen this when I was younger. And I think when I watched it, my mom was sort of explaining to me how weathermen kind of work with the blue screens and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was funny when Annie McDowell steps in front of it with her blue coat and is disappears. Like invisible and it's really silly. And she's just, that is such a perfect scene to reveal her character.
Yes.
She's this young, spirited, new producer. She's too freaking cute for words. She's having fun on the set after the shoot. I mean, it's just... You
can
tell.
She kind of has that, like, optimism that she hasn't been beaten down
like
Phil has. You know? So she's probably only ever been, like, promoted in her little small town.
And yeah. She doesn't have that super negative, like, bitch-ass point of view that Bill Murray as Phil has.
Yeah, he calls his co-host or the other anchor, hairdo. He's just such a jerk.
He's just so...
Very... Like, as a real person, unliked, probably liked as a weatherman on TV.
Which is a good balance. I think they found a perfect balance to go, he is a jerk, but he still has to be a warm actor, like someone who's lovable and like in general, but like can play a jerk that we kind of are uncomfortable with in the beginning that we'll eventually love. Like, they struggled with casting for this.
Yes, and I read, I mean, I don't want to get too into the Harold Ramis and Bill Murray dynamic yet, mm-hmm. but there would be parts where Harold Ramis is trying to direct, he's trying to set up a scene, and Bill would just cut him off and say, am I good Phil or bad Phil?
Yeah.
Like, just tell, I know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm either going to be a jerk or I'm going to be a sweet guy that's trying hard. And you yeah. see that literally in the same scenes go back and forth. So I'm sure as an actor that was like, could get frustrating uh-huh. of doing the same thing over and over. And like, oh in one gosh. Scene you have to be a good guy mm-hmm. and in one scene you have to be a bad guy.
And I do think, I mean, just knowing from a film standpoint, like if you think about how they would have to have shot things, I mean, every film is shot out of order, so that's normal, but you'd really have to be so consistent with the development between not just each take, like each take for a scene would have to be the same thing, but then you'd have to do, like right after you'd film that, you'd then have to film that next day's takes and that next mm-hmm. day's takes and that next day's takes. So it's like multiplied, you know, to the however yeah. many power, and each general, you know, scene is going to be a little different. He's having a little bit of growth and he's either in a good mood or a bad mood, or, you know, he's trying to be positive or he slips back into being negative. Like, it's just such a roller coaster. So that would be really tough.
When he is on his second day and it's, you know, blowing his mind and he's curious, it might actually be the third day, but it's one night where he's going to sleep and he wants to test.
Yeah.
And he breaks that pencil.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, they wanted him to trash the room, but they realized that would be too hard to put it back together.
Yeah.
You know, even if it was like the last set,
Sometimes the simpler, the better.
So yeah, the pencil was like such a
and
great.
And cheaper.
And you see it back, you know, on the table, and it's like, oh yeah. my gosh.
Yeah. Which, and you see a little fear in his face of like, not only am I not imagining this, this like confirms that, but like anything I do will somehow be reversed.
Kind of a sinister mm-hmm. attitude because he sees that he can get away with anything at yeah. some point.
I do think that it was smart to have him kind of have that phase initially
mm-hmm.
because he is a full of it kind of character.
He hasn't grown yet. So yeah. that's what his first reaction would be.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I have the ego to like do whatever the fuck I want. Whereas I feel like, I know we're going to compare a little bit, in 12 Days of Christmas, like she does not get to that point until much later.
She also only has 12 days, yeah. not 12 years yeah. approximately.
She has like a random day where she's like, oh, I guess I'll go spend a bunch of money. It's like that little cliche
she does,
moment.
Yeah, she dyes her hair black and yeah. gets a tattoo.
It's like you need a little bit of that. And I think they did it really well to just kind of get it out of the way, too, mm-hmm. with him. It was like, okay, you need that out of your system because that is, like, who you are and that's what you do. Now, who are you going to become?
Well, and it leads him into that hopelessness,
mm-hmm.
and it gets very dark.
Yes.
So once he realizes, okay, I've had my fun,
mm-hmm.
I can't leave because yeah. of that blizzard, I'm stuck here. You know, I get arrested, I wake up
yeah.
in the morning in my bed, I, yeah. you know.
I've had it with every girl in town. At this point, that gets boring.
And then it just gets really depressing yeah. and, you know, pushes him to try to kill himself a ton of times.
Yeah. And then, of course, that fails too, so.
Yeah, and that's kind of more metaphorical in when you are stuck in the same rut.
Yeah.
And you can't get out and you start to lose hope.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might not go to those extremes or even think to go to those extremes, but sometimes you feel that hopeless that
right.
this is my life. I'm mm-hmm. stuck in this job or this bad marriage or whatever.
Yeah. And it's the biggest feeling of feeling stuck.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to have to wake up every day, have the same day over and over, or be in the same town, but it's way worse when you are just, you're that much done with it that like you're reaching that point.
Mm-hmm. Now, as dark as that part is, that segment, mm-hmm. they still make it funny.
Yeah, it is very silly too.
I love that.
The toaster.
He puts the toast in the toaster and puts it down like, okay, this is unnecessary.
Yeah.
He waves bye-bye
yeah.
to the truck.
Truck driver.
You know, the groundhog he steals, like,
I love how he chooses the hotel that he said was like a shithole prior, and he chooses that building to jump off of.
It's was just it that building?
Yeah, I didn't realize that. It's the same one.
One of my favorite parts is when he's just eating all of those pastries. Rita is just like, wow.
Yeah. She's like, don't you worry about love handles. He's a guy. I don't know.
She says something like, I wish I remember the exact line, like, it's nice. It's wonderful to see someone in their, you know, aging years throwing yeah. sheets to the wind, like, and just saying, like, screw it. Yeah. You know? And I read that they offered to give him a spit bucket because he had to eat and eat yeah. and eat, and he rejected it. But then when he put that whole angel food cake in his mouth, he felt really sick because yeah. that was just like a ball going down.
Oh, God. I know when you watch him do that, it's just, you know, Bill Murray comedy gold. He
drinks
kills
the coffee
it.
Like right out of the
yeah.
craft. So funny.
He definitely was the perfect person to play Phil. I know they had talked about Tom Hanks, who was way too nice. Let's all be real yeah. on that. He's too nice for sure. Steve Martin, a couple other people. Even what I thought was interesting, Chevy Chase.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, who is known as an asshole. So I thought that was interesting.
I felt like, though, that Bill Murray didn't have the traditional attractiveness that a weatherman would have.
Mm-hmm.
But
that fake
maybe
look.
He did in the 90s. It's just that, yeah, it was yeah. like, he wasn't that young.
He's
you know?
Not his character. It was no pretty boy.
He wasn't, yeah. Like, yeah. normally, when I think of a weatherman, I think of, or woman, you know, like, really primmed mm-hmm. and prepped hair and, like, stage makeup.
Yeah.
Or TV makeup.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing.
Very tailored clothes. This yeah. was like, I'm Bill Murray. Like,
yeah,
I'm
he
not
clearly
change
runs
who I
the
am.
Show. He calls the shots. He kind of doesn't put up with people who are like Rita, who are going to give him a little direction here and there. He's too experienced, you know. He is. He's a prima donna. Like, exactly like Larry says. I love when they leave the station. They're heading to Punxsutawney, and they do mention the Swallows of
yes.
Sonoma Capistrano.
Shout out to Orange County.
Like, yay, we have a part in the movie.
I was excited about that. It was weird that he said he was covering San Diego, and that's a good, like, 60 miles
away.
Far away. But
yeah, he must have just worked south and driven up.
So. Yeah, I did like that.
Very funny.
We also get a kind of a Swallow shout out in Dumb and Dumber, but I think he says salmon.
Oh, salmon of Capistrano.
Something like, yeah, like they flock like the salmon of Capistrano.
That's beautiful.
That's a real thing if you're not familiar. Birds come to our mission here in San Juan, and there's a big parade every March, and it's
super
very fun.
Fun. Super fun.
Most people get crazy hammered yeah. on tequila.
Welcome to San Juan Capistrano. Oh, for real. I like that scene, too, when they mention it, because Rita says, oh, I love the idea of doing this groundhog story. It's charming. It's cute. Like, I mean, she knows what tells a good story, and obviously yeah. from the positive perspective. So she's like, it works, you know, and then he just straight up mocks her. Like,
yes.
Makes fun of her, does this mean little impression of her. It's very cute. It's a little bit like there's a little flirty tension between them already.
Yeah, he does kind of flirt with her. She asks, how'd you sleep? And he mm-hmm. says something like, well, I wasn't with you or something like that. And then she's like, you're incredible. And yeah. he's like, who told you?
Yeah.
So he probably just has that banter all the time that, yeah. you know, maybe some people play into and others don't.
Oh, yeah.
The lady, Mrs. Lancaster, that runs the bed and breakfast, she
so
says,
sweet.
How did you sleep? And he goes, I slept alone.
Like, yeah.
I love
their
interaction.
Quips. Yeah. Oh my God.
That is so funny.
That scene is so cute. The
she
first
offers
scene
him
with her.
Coffee, and he asks for an espresso or cappuccino, and then she kind of doesn't even know how to respond.
Yeah.
And he's like,
she's like,
he says, like, can you even spell espresso or cappuccino?
Yeah. He's
like
such
under
a
tongue.
Little. Yeah. He's like
such
so,
a jerk.
So rude. And then he's the next day, because obviously it's happening again, he says to her, do you know, or he goes, do you ever have deja vu? And she goes, I could check in the kitchen. It's just a really, like, precious little moment. She's just a sweet character. There's a lot of very fun characters.
I love these people.
Me too. I would love to live in this town.
Yeah.
They're everybody I would love to know and be with. I mean, they captured small town essence.
Charm.
In all the best ways. Yes.
Yeah. Everybody knows each other. One of my favorite people, Gus.
I love Gus.
Gus is in one of my other favorite movies, The Burbs.
Oh, yeah.
I love him.
Oh, he is so good. And Ralph, I actually saw him do improv in Second City, and he killed it. He's so funny.
One of my favorite lines in the movie where they're at the bowling alley, and Phil's, you know, feeling really down on himself, and he kind of asks, like, do you guys ever feel stuck and doing the same thing? And he's narrating his situation literally, but they don't understand it to be, you know.
He's like, I wake up in the same town every day.
Da, da, da. And then Ralph goes, that about sums it up for me.
it's so precious. They're just like, those are the kind of guys that you would imagine are at the bowling alley on, like, a Friday night. Like, that's adorable.
The two kind of town drunks.
Yeah. But still charming.
Yeah. Yeah, still, like, they're not bad guys.
Yeah. They're just, that's what you do. And you work hard all week. That's how you go.
It's so terrible when Phil is going around, you know, kind of telling Rita, like, this is their backstory.
Yeah.
And he goes to Gus and he says, Gus wishes he didn't leave the Navy.
You
think, like, oh, how sweet, he wants to, you know, protect our country. And then he goes, yeah, if I would have stayed, I could have got half pay after 20 years. Like, all he really cared about was the retirement. He didn't care about our country.
Yeah. That's cute. It's all these funny, relatable people. I do really like Doris, the waitress.
Oh, yeah.
She's just adorable. She definitely has a big fat crush on Phil, which is very cute.
Yeah, well, imagine to her, this small town, and, like,
a huge weatherman.
The weatherman shows up, and he's kind of sassy.
Yeah,
and
he's got some charisma, for sure. Even if he's a jerk, he definitely does. And then she, in the end, it's cute when she tries to hard to win him in the auction, and then that face she makes when she's like, damn it, I can't do any more than that. Oh, girl, it was cute.
We haven't even talked about Ned Ryerson yet.
Oh my god, how could I forget?
Bing!
Bing! Ned Ryerson, oh my god, talk about characters.
I think everybody has someone like that from high school where they're like literally the last person you want to run into, and you run into them.
You always run into
them. It's like, oh my gosh, you get to Target and it's this girl you couldn't stand in high school, and now she's selling, like, some multi-
and she wants you to be in marketing level pyramid scheme thing.
Yeah, and it's like, oh my god, like, why did I run into you?
That's so true. He is the embodiment of that. He has, like, the full, he looks like a cartoon character.
Yeah, he does.
He's very, like, first of all, he's just a great actor. He's very animated. He brings it to, like, the level of annoyance that.
Yeah, he overacts a bit. Like, he really lays it on, you know. He's even got, like, kind of a choreography, the way he, like, runs into the scene and, you know, just, like. Like a cartoon character.
Yeah, he's just totally out there and, like, just so obnoxious. And, of course, he sells insurance and kind of pitches himself as if he's selling to Phil, like, off the bat.
I'm sure at that time that was an annoying job.
Yeah.
Like, they were probably over-insuring everything in the early 90s.
Well, there's so much, like, big business and, you know, corporate everything that was probably like, oh, like, of course you do that. It's like, I feel like that would make sense.
There is something he does the second time Phil sees him, and he kind of says, like, I bet you have life insurance, but you always could use a little more. And he pulls, like, back Phil's jacket, and he does this whistle. And I don't know how to whistle, but he does this, like, whoo-hoo.
Yeah.
And that is, like, a family joke that we still do when anything's kind of, like, like, a little weird.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my dad will be like, whoo-hoo. And I didn't know for so long, but it's from that movie.
Oh, my God,
And he told me he pulled it from there.
So great when you like keep something from a movie that you just use with you daily.
Yeah, there's another one. It's so funny when they're in, anytime they're in the cafe mm-hmm. and the tray of mm-hmm. dishes falls. And Gus goes, hey, just put that
those,
anywhere.
Yeah, put those dishes anywhere.
I've heard that so many times in my life of anytime someone, like, drops a glass or a plate, yeah. it's like someone in my family or friends will yell, hey, just put that anywhere.
It's just funny. They just totally embarrass him and call him out. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the poor guy's just trying to work.
Yeah. Sad. Yeah, so Ned Ryerson totally... I mean, as if he isn't already annoyed enough, like, by life itself, Ned shows up. And right before Ned pops out, he walks past the old man, the homeless yeah. old man. And he is so mean on that first day. He, like, pretends he's going to grab something from his pocket.
That's my favorite one, where he pretends, yeah. like,
so mean.
I'm going to give you money. And then he's
and then
like,
he stops and he kind of, like, smirks like, to himself.
He just like, could have kept walking.
Like, he thought that was so funny.
Funny to himself.
It was so mean.
This movie does do something where there is so many things that just beat him down mm-hmm. to annoy him. So, one, you wake up to a Sunny and Cher song at 6 a.m.
Nobody wants that.
No. As good as that song was in its prime, it's already been 20 years of yeah. existence probably. Yeah. And you don't want to wake up to that. Then those two super annoying DJs, like, you know, just close the booties out because it's cold outside.
It's cold.
Then he walks out to that really weird guy.
Love. Okay. I talk about characters and character actors. I freaking adore this man.
Oh, he's the best.
I love him. He gets
the groundhog.
Like, he gets like a Salem and Binks Presents star. I feel like for people who are in more than one holiday movie should get like
gold
stars. And I do feel like this actor, Ken Hudson Campbell, he was in Home Alone and he's the Santa that he goes and meets.
He is. Leaving. And he gives him the Tic Tac.
Yeah. And he's like, well, everyone needs something when you visit Santa. He's great in that. I personally adore him in Under Wraps because.
Oh my gosh.
He's the guy.
I've never seen it. I know what it is. It's a DCOM, right?
Yeah. He is in the ever famous Disney Channel original movie Under Wraps as Bruce. So he's super funny in that. And I'm a fan.
I cannot. I remember this a little bit more now. I'm Googling mm-hmm. just the imagery to.
Yeah.
It's coming back. I might have seen parts of it, flooding. But I definitely know I didn't see like it's an entirety.
It's one of my favorites.
But he's so funny. Like, he's full of energy. And
at
keep
7
in mind,
the morning or the 6 event, in the morning.
The event's, like, at 7. He woke up at 6. Phil probably took, like, 20, 30 minutes to get ready. It's early, and he's like, off to see the groundhog.
Yeah, it's like, that's the energy that I cannot.
This man is so excited to see the groundhog. And I just think it's so funny that, you know, Phil is just, like, faced with these people that he cannot get away with. Yeah. Like, he has to, you know, hear the song, see this guy, then Mrs. Lancaster. It's like one thing after another.
He can't get away.
The old man, then Ned. Then he has to do the speech, which, like, he hates doing.
Yeah.
It's cold. It's just
and
one.
And he just stepped in a puddle.
Yes, the
which
puddle.
I would imagine would be freaking awful.
It's just like, we've all had those days where you feel like you're getting beaten down, like nothing's going right. And you're like, what did I do to deserve this?
It's like, no wonder he has such a pissy attitude on then, top of, like, him for the longest time not making anything better out of it because he just felt like it's a shitty day.
Well, and then later, you know, when they try, the blizzard stops them from leaving. So that's mm-hmm. another, you know, issue. And then they go to the bar. And him trying to, you know, kind of like hit on Rita, he decides to drink her drink, which is like not a great drink.
Yeah.
So then it's one of those things like he has to drink those every day.
Yeah.
Just one more thing after another.
Even I like just on the first day, it says a lot about him when not only the blizzard stops them and he mispredicted or did not fully predict this blizzard. Like, he thought it was going a different direction and it's coming their way. So he kind of feels
it's supposed to go to Altoona.
You know, they're kind of pissed at him. He's sort of embarrassed probably. And so that's another thing that, again, out of his control, that's like shitty to have to deal with every day. That he was wrong. But then when they do go to the bar, when they get back into town, he gives the bartender shit. He's like, can I have another one of these with booze in it? Like, it's so mean. And then, like, instead, I do think it's funny that they were like, well, what are you going to do tonight? And he's just like, he says jokingly, well, I'm going to read some Hustler and go to bed. It's like, he could have hung out with them or at least tried to hit on Rita or at least tried. He could have done literally anything. And he just is like, fuck this town.
At that point, yeah, he does not want to be there.
Yeah.
So he's not even going to give in to a little bit of the fun.
Yeah. Which, again, that's the first day. It is super shitty and sad.
I love that bartender. He doesn't have any lines, but he has great facial expressions.
He is so funny in it. Like, just the looks he
gives. He's all knowing and hearing. Yeah. And he's like, mm-hmm.
And just, like, it's great. As the movie goes on and you see how much Phil bullshits once he gets to know a lot about people and sort of takes advantage of that knowledge and just how he bullshits to Rita that he also drinks the same drink and drinks to world peace. Like, it's just that kind of stuff. And, like, the bartender makes the best faces.
Yeah. Well, that's part of his character growth also is mm-hmm. that, you know, when he does try to do things, it is in, like, a superficial, manipulative way.
Like, there's always an angle.
And it takes him a long time to learn that he has to be genuine.
Yeah. Like, it's one thing for him to kind of change his mind and go, you know, maybe I do like Rita. Maybe I'll kind of try to win her over. But it's all about how desperate he kind of is to do that and how, like, how much energy and effort he puts into just trying to impress her mm-hmm. that's why, like, she just doesn't fall for it. Cause it's so, like you said, like, just disingenuous. Like, it's just,
yeah, not real. He's just feeding into anything he thinks she wants to hear.
Yeah.
It's so funny that he doesn't have any, you know, repercussions because the day starts over.
Yeah.
So when they go to dinner and he says, what did you, you know, do before this?
And oh, yeah.
I studied 19th century French poetry. And he just laughs in her face. He goes, what a waste of time.
It's like, bless whatever God gave him, like, this 10-year chance, because that's how much he needs second chances when he fucks up.
He was way low on the bar of, like, being a good person. So it took him so far. Because that's the last thing you do when someone tells you what they did with their life prior. Just laugh in their face. What an incredibly waste of time. And then he tries to save himself. He's like, or for someone else, that would be such a waste of time.
It's so cringy.
And then the very next scene, he's like speaking French. Yeah. He memorized.
It's like trying to impress her with some French.
And she's like, you speak French? He's like, oui. Like, just such a jerk about it, you know?
It's just so much of that for so long, which works. It's funny.
It is funny,
and I think they stop it at the right point where you're like, he really needs to shape up.
Because it makes sense for his character. Mm-hmm. You know, when he is drinking sweet vermouth on the rocks with a twist, which I am enjoying right now.
Yes.
Lots of lemon. Lots of lemon.
The key.
He, you know, he does that whole, like, oh, I'd like to say a prayer, drink to world peace. If I were her, I would be like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like, this guy's ridiculous. Yeah. He's just saying things he thinks
even
I want to hear.
That's the thing. Even if I, like, that's agreed my thing, it. I'd be like, that's my thing.
He's not genuine. So you can tell, I'd like to say a prayer. Like, she already
knows. You want there to be differences.
What he's about.
Yeah.
You know what I love is when he does have a really fun date with Rita. And she mm-hmm. kind of says, like, okay, well, you know, I think I should go home.
Yeah.
Because really, to her, it's one day that she hung out with him.
So that's why it's so important to see that first day where you see him being sassy. And then you have to remember the whole movie, that's all she's got.
Yes.
None of this has happened to her.
And she's heard about him before. So then he tries to replicate that day, mm-hmm. and he puts it on so thick that it freaks her out.
Yeah.
And, you know, he tries to do the snowman thing again, and like, I want to have kids!
Oh, my God, she's like, my favorite part.
She's just kind of looking at him, and then she falls, and he, like, jumps on her, and she's like, what are it's you just doing? Cute.
My favorite is when he's just like, I want to have kids! So many kids! Oh, golly, there's some kids here right now!
Shoot, can I adopt you? Like, just... crazy. Where the day before so was like bad. So natural and yeah. it unfolded organically.
Yeah.
It was a really sweet day. Like when you're watching it, you're like, okay, like he has a chance.
Mm-hmm.
He's like being himself. And then, you know, he gets really frustrated when she wants to go yeah. home.
And he, I think.
And that he woke up and it was the same day. It right. didn't change.
It didn't change. And I do think there's some sort of unspoken understanding. I mean, we don't know what has ever caused this. It's not like there's a scientific gone wrong explanation or a myth, like purgatory. Mythological, magical.
He didn't die.
Right. There's no spiritual or you know what I logical do love explanation.
Is he didn't wake up from a dream at the end.
Yeah.
So I'm glad. So, yeah, I'm glad he too. Didn't do that.
But without any explanation, I think there is an unspoken understanding that if they fall in love, it will kind of break this curse or well, it will also, sort of wrap things up.
I think he thinks that.
Yeah.
And I think his intentions are still selfish at that point.
For sure.
So he's thinking like, how can I convince her to like and or love me?
Mm-hmm.
But really what it takes is him helping others and, you know, yeah. saving that boy and
because it goes to the show. Town. If you're being yourself, you're doing you, you're doing good. I mean, doing well and doing good. If you're in your own thing, it'll happen at the right time when it's supposed to, and you're not reaching for uh-huh. that person to come to you. They will come to you when you're doing your own thing.
To be of. Your best in a relationship, you have to be your best. Like,
yeah.
you can't have the best relationship without unless yeah. you are at your best. And if you notice that last day, he's not trying to impress her. He tells her, yeah. I have a lot of errands to run.
Yeah,
and
she goes, where are you going?
He ditches her. And so it turns into what's doing what's right and what, you know, it probably makes him feel good that he's helping mm-hmm. all these people, but he sees all these problems. He's trying to fix them for yeah. the better good. And then she falls in love with him or, you yeah. know, is like attractive. She tries to pay for him.
Yeah.
That
was so cute.
Oh, she had her checkbook out. It was adorable.
She gave the full amount. Like, yeah,
she's like,
left.
What is my balance her right balance. Now? 33 cents.
It was so cute.
But it was because he took that focus off of her and just ran around town and she was so surprised, like, what did you do today?
Yeah.
And everyone's just thanking him, like, mm-hmm. thanks for fixing my back. Thanks for, you know, helping my husband not choke. And
so cute. And, like,
WrestleMania tickets.
Yeah. It's not quite, obviously, as it was before where it's, like, it's laying it on a little too thick. It's, like, she's actually continuously, like, impressed with
being surprised,
every time
yeah.
someone comes by. And that's also
and
really
he's being
fun.
Very humble.
Yeah. For the first fucking time.
Yeah.
I mean, really
and I think she is like, okay, he must spend a lot of time here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was maybe kind of deceiving me that first day. Like, I yeah. really don't like it here. And she sees, like, well, clearly if all these people love
yeah,
him.
Yeah, because we all know this is his fourth year doing it. So he could have, in that time, known people, developed relationships, and being a, you know, possibly humble person, never bragged about that.
Yeah.
Never told anyone he goes there and helps people out, knows them or whatever.
Yeah, and that one day, she, you know, she says, like, something like, how do you know all these people? And he says, I've spent a lot of time here.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
It's really
cute.
Because,
like, really tall, those people, too, they've only met him that one day.
I know. Which is very, to me, like, not just from a writing standpoint, but just as an audience member, like, I'm impressed with how, not only how well they showed that, but just that general lesson. Like, how much you can do in a day. How much you can change people's lives in a day. How much, like, you can go out and make a friend any day you want.
Yeah.
And you can make as many friends as you want, depending on who you choose to talk to and how that interaction goes and if you help them or if you're open to them and if you're open-minded. So I think that was a very sweet way to kind of wrap up his last kind of crazy day.
I never noticed when I was younger, but when he tries to save the old homeless man and he can't, you know, he's getting really frustrated. And it kind of, that part kind of ends with him in the hospital and he asks to see the chart and the nurse says, you know,
so
sometimes
sad.
People just die. in the background, you see the little boy's red jacket.
Yeah.
And then, so we don't see that he probably turned around and he said, hey, what happened to this kid?
Right.
And then he had to go find, so he's finding
ways.
What are
you doing in the hospital
today?
Okay,
I can't save this man, but maybe I can save this kid from a broken leg or arm.
I do think, because we don't see him do that until the last day, I think, or the second to last day.
Yeah, the last day, because he runs and he says, you've never thanked me. And the kid just runs off.
Which is so cute, because
that's what a kid would do.
Yeah, and that is a new development to us. I do think that you're right. I think that's exactly
what we don't see. Yeah, we don't ever see him, you know, do the carjack for the ladies. But it's like, he goes, oh, I already had the tire and the jacket. It's like, he's been in these situations quite a few times before, and we just didn't get to see them.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of saw it like Rita did, where we got to fall for him.
Yes,
like
very
she
much.
Did. So we didn't see Luda like, oh, yeah, he's going to save this boy again.
Right.
It's like, oh my gosh, like he's doing this and this, like he's such a good man. And then we barely see him play piano, but then by the time he plays at the concert,
he's killing
it. He's like, he's calling the shots with the hand and the glasses.
It is very, I think that's a perfect way to put it, that we kind of discover it as she does, because it's very still surprising, which I think was smart on the writing standpoint. This is a movie where we're watching the same day every day. You still need some surprises.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it so well in the end. And I like that in the end, he buys insurance from Ned Ryerson after all.
He buys all the insurance. He like makes Ned's day. Like Ned can go on vacation because of like all the premiums.
That's wild.
Phil.
Just hand it over.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
The Harold Ramis cameo.
He's cute.
You know, he's playing the neurologist and he's like, I really don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, you seem healthy. I think you need to see a psychiatrist. And I love what the psychiatrist says. You know, he's like, have you studied this before?
Yeah.
He's like, an abnormal psychology.
Yeah.
I remember I took abnormal psych and I remember thinking about this movie, but there was nothing like that came
up. Of course.
But it's so funny. He goes,
he's kind of eager to help him.
He's
even
a new, yeah, he's kind of like a new doctor where he says, like, I'm an alcoholic now.
Yeah.
You know, he's very new to the practice. He's young.
He's probably one of the few psychiatrists in town.
And he says, you know, can I see you tomorrow?
Yeah. Does that not work for you? Is that not good? It's just a really, really good scene that's very short and sweet and simple.
We haven't talked much about Chris Elliott. You know, he's so funny as the cameraman.
He is really, and he's just like every cameraman. If you know these guys, like, they're like that,
and
you know?
I love when he's trying to hit on Nancy and she's like,
so not having it. Not like, push the hand away.
Yeah, and then he goes up to be auctioned off and the drummer's playing and he does that spin.
The spin.
So uncomfortable.
Oh, it's so cringy. When Phil does commit suicide and they do see his body and they are like, you
they
know,
have
really
to identify
sad.
It. Yeah.
Larry is like totally lies and is like, he was a very good man. We all really liked him a lot. And he just says it like such a lie too. Like, it's just not good.
Oh, that reminds me. Brian Doyle Murray.
Amazing.
Murray's
as
brother.
Ever.
Does a great,
oh my God,
great
he's
part
so
as
fucking
the
good.
Prognosticator or whatever.
Yeah.
What would he
what
be called?
What would you, like, the, I don't know, the colonel of the groundhog?
So,
I have no idea.
Apparently, the real groundhog club, they were actually really upset that they didn't film in Punxsutawney. They filmed it in Illinois.
That's right.
But they did send real, like, people there to make sure it's all official.
Oh,
like, they did
okay.
it right, you know. So they wanted it to be portrayed accurately in the movie, which
nice.
I thought was cool.
I like that.
And
I
the outfits,
that.
I mean, the outfits are real. They look like Frosty the Snowman. They have, like,
oh my God, the full top hats. Like, it's all the embellishments, like...
Why do they need seven men up there? I don't get it.
What? Yeah, do they each have a job? It's one, like, groundhog. There's a person reading a scroll.
Yes.
They, like...
They act like it's the same groundhog for, like, 127 years.
Yeah, like Shamu. It's like... opposite Shamu. It's like there have been like 10 of them. Like,
was it really? I'm sure. I don't probably. Know. Probably. We try to. That's a dark part that's of so our dark. State that we try to not think about.
Yeah, SeaWorld. We're like, oh, we just don't go. We just don't. We haven't been. Yeah. We haven't been.
I loved it when I was a kid, but
oh no.
After Blackfish came out.
Yeah.
No more. No more. Yeah, he has a scroll. I think the
they put him in this.
He speaks a language. Thing. They call it Groundhoggies.
Wow. What in the Jesus Christ is
well,
that?
Well, and only
tell Brian, me more. I'm
only
fascinated.
Brian Doyle Murray can understand him. So he like whispers to him, and he's like, oh, you know, he did see a shadow.
It's all the ceremonial crap. It's just, like, it's pure made-up. It's adults playing make-believe.
There's some very funny now, but yeah. Interesting.
Funny now. Keyword.
Interesting traditions. Apparently, Groundhog Day derives from a superstition.
Okay.
And this goes all the way back to pagan kind of stuff.
Nice. And then, I like any holiday with pagan roots.
And then the classic, like, the Christians came in and were like, we're going to steal your holiday and make it about Jesus.
To get everyone to come to church.
There was a celebration in between the winter and spring solstice. And there was a superstition about a groundhog seeing its shadow. Oh. That's how it started, but the Christians try to steal it and say, like, this is Candlemas.
Let's put some top hats on this. And
it's, like, ridiculous, yeah. And people fly to Pennsylvania to go see.
So funny.
The Pennsylvania polka played.
Yeah. The polka is definitely, anytime I hear polka, it just makes me realize how Californian I am, because that is not a thing here.
Yeah, I never knew it. I mean, I would obviously hear it in Home Alone, but mm-hmm. I didn't know what that was.
No. We would just not know what that is. Like, literally, you could live your whole life in California and just be like, what is polka? Like,
and then you go,
you know what Oktoberfest
is. You go to like an Oktoberfest
is,
and you're like, oh, it's kind of the same music. Is yeah. this what it is?
Yeah.
No, there's hot dogs and pretzels and beers.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds fucking great, all of that.
Well, we were so busy celebrating the swallows.
Yeah, we have our own thing. So, you know what? You can take your woodchuck, chuck.
Back to Brian Doyle Murray. He has a really funny line when Phil steals Phil.
Such a great scene.
And he's driving.
And it's just so, that's says, when shit gets wild.
Aim high. Don't shoot the groundhog. Like, he wants him to shoot Bill Murray in
yeah.
the head.
Yeah. Aim high. Like, Jesus Christ.
Maybe shoot the tires? Yeah. Like, or block?
If you shoot the driver, there's really no chance that he'll pull over because he'll, you know,
aim
be
high.
Dead.
I don't want to hit him. I don't want him to hit the groundhog. So. Now, Bill Murray was bit twice by that groundhog.
I read that. Poor thing.
He had to get rabies shots. And they raised a family of groundhogs just for this film.
That scene is where it does kick off the whole, he really is over it. He doesn't give a shit. He blows up.
There's a good part too right there when it, before it explodes.
Oh yeah.
Larry. And Larry goes, he might be okay. What? The car flew off of a cliff. Like, hundreds of feet, landed upside down.
He might be okay.
He's not okay. He died on impact.
Nobody would be okay.
He probably passed out on the way down and never knew what hit him.
Yeah.
And then it just...
Whoosh. Yeah.
I love a good flame. Just.
It was a beautifully, like, directed scene because the timing when he says that is so perfect. Yeah. And it's just,
he
like...
He might be okay.
It's, like, cat. It's like funny. It's, like, their friend just, like, died pretty much.
Do you think if that happened to someone you knew that you would be standing on the cliff looking at it?
God, no.
I feel like I would be screaming in terror.
Yeah.
Like, crying and holding my yeah. you know, face in my hands, like... I wouldn't just be like, he might be okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be like, oh, whoop, he Thelma and Louise it. I'd be like, oh, my fucking God.
Like screaming.
Yeah, I would be traumatized. Like,
you know what I think is so funny, too? When they go to identify his body, it was directly after he jumped off a building. Mm-hmm. bodies don't stay intact.
Yeah, I thought, why didn't they show that one after he electrocuted himself? Or after even the car, like, I would believe that.
Yeah.
But, like, the body hitting the ground, no.
Yeah, maybe
we've seen in Bruges. That doesn't stay together.
Maybe they were insinuating, like, there was just so many deaths. Because that's not how it works.
It could have been after some death we didn't see.
Like he drowned. Well, you know what? He was very blue, and he did say he had been frozen.
Oh.
So maybe he jumped in a frozen lake, and we didn't see it. Because when he lists off all his deaths, he's like, I've been
electrocuted. Yeah, he did.
Frozen.
Frozen. I've been frozen.
I'm a god. Wouldn't you wonder why this is happening to you? You think you have kind of like special powers?
Yeah.
I know part of it does feel like a hell. I might have thought I was dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with all his kind of power that he was able to get away with anything at that point, you would kind of question, like...
I'd probably think I was dead. Yeah. I'd probably just be like, all right, I guess this is a weird, like, limbo-y type situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's better than, like, the hell they all talk about. So honestly, I'll eat some donuts.
Honestly, we don't know.
Let's go to the tip top.
How... Honestly, we don't know what happens after we die. This could be somewhat close to the truth that, like, we're just stuck in our own hell. I feel like I would try really hard to get away. I know he just kind of leads it up to, like, oh, the blizzard. But not all roads go to where he was going. Like, I would have tried to get out, I think.
Yeah.
And see if that would
break the cycle. If it's something in the town. Yeah.
Just to test it. He didn't really test that, the boundary thing. He just kind of knew. And then if you notice, because he doesn't want to waste time getting in the car and driving to the blizzard, he pulls, like, the brake plugs or something.
Yeah.
And then so she says, like, oh, Larry is working on the car.
Yeah.
So that was his way of, like, I don't want to deal with this.
I don't even want to deal. Like, there's no point.
Let me just hang out in the hotel and, like, play cards, throwing cards into a hat or something.
Yeah, exactly.
He said she wasn't good at it, and he said 6 months, 4 to 5 hours a night, you'll be, you know, a master or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's bleak. 4 to 5 hours a night of throwing cards into a hat?
That's so sad.
No cell phones back then. I mean,
he didn't even get a TV in his room, and they're watching Jeopardy downstairs. Oh, so. Yeah, he can't really steal the TV from them.
Tippy Canoe. That is funny when he plays. He knows all
and
the
he's
Jeopardy.
Like so, like, just doesn't give a shit. He's in his jammies.
He's drinking Jack Daniel. Like, out of the bottle.
They're just like, okay. Like, Mrs. they're kind of impressed, but also concerned.
Well, they're all clapping to Mrs. Lancaster's, like,
something's not right. I love in that conversation with her about the weather, and he does that, his whole spiel. He does, like, the whole weather.
He goes right into it.
Yeah, and it's, like, it's half entertaining and, like, humorous, but then half, like, just being a dick.
And, like, superficial.
Like, yeah.
He's only going to portray what he's created.
Right.
So you're not going to know who Phil Connors is. You're going to see this, like, really jerky,
dry.
Like, I'm just going to do my thing.
Mm-hmm. It's
and
all
this
just
is what,
like,
the people want.
Yeah.
You know, chances of departure are 100%. Yeah. And then I love the second day. He's like, 80%.
Yeah. Like, 80. I don't really know what's going on today.
He goes to take a shower. Oh, that's another just, like, crazy...
annoying thing.
Bummer
for him.
Is there's no hot water. Could you imagine for 10 to 12 years never having a hot shower? He's screaming.
Yeah.
I love when he, like, pushed the second
all the
time.
There's stuff going everywhere.
He pushes the shower out. It's just like... Psh. Oh, so you think about it. When he does the toaster, that's a pool of cold water.
I do like that on the final day, not only does he kind of ditch Rita to do all these things for other people, and then still has time in the evening to kind of have a date with her.
Yeah.
And so it's like he still managed to make it all work. It's amazing.
Yes. It does prove, like, you can do it.
Yeah. I love that. I think as an audience member, it's like you want them to fall in love, but you also want him to just be a good person and a better person. So you're like, is he going to pick one or the other? It's like, no, it all works out, which is nice. And I do think it's just really cute that finally next morning, like,
oh, yeah.
that fucking song comes on again. And you just are so sad thinking. Yeah,
but if you notice, it is at a little different spot.
Yeah. It's not the same moment.
Yeah.
It's, so you're kind of like, and I think they do that on purpose where to make our brain kind of go, like for yeah, a second.
Yeah, it's just different enough to where you wouldn't really notice it yeah. right away. And then it kind of pans out and you see Rita's arm and you're like, yeah. wait. And then you hear the DJs go like,
not that song again. Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God. Like,
yeah. Well, I love how he touches her arm because he just can't believe it.
What a shock to hear just the initial DJs say something different.
I know, because you hear every morning.
And then she's kind of like, you know, what? And he's like, anything different is good.
Yes. It's one of the best lines in the movie.
I always like that because I feel like that I don't want to do the same thing all the time. Mm-hmm. There's times where I just want to take a different route to work or, like, yeah. go to a different Target. This mm-hmm. sounds so mundane.
No, I do that, too.
Just kind of mix it up. You yeah. get really stuck in these ruts of... Mm-hmm. We live in a big area. Like, there's yeah. so much to do and see that, you know, anything different is good. Mm-hmm. Pushing yourself, trying different foods.
Yes.
Learning about different cultures, traveling to different places. It's all... good. How the movie ends, I like Andy McDowell's line where he says, you know, oh my gosh, you're here. And he's freaking out because he realizes it's a different day. And she's kind of like, why are you freaking out?
Yeah.
And she goes, you said stay, so I stayed.
So sweet.
It's just like so cute. No. He's like, I can't make a callie stay. Like, yeah. you don't understand. And he runs to see the door or the window. And
you just get the sense of pure joy from him.
Yes. He's like a little kid. So and you cute. See a new day where the snow has completely covered the streets. It's like all of that was washed away. There's no people. There's no truck going by.
Yeah. I absolutely love that moment because it kind of makes you realize this is sort of like a winter tale. I mean, obviously, we have the whole prediction of 6 weeks of winter.
And the blizzard. Yeah.
And the blizzard, you know, and we always sort of associate winter with difficulty and struggle and being stuck and feeling stuck and not having that control. But yet, on the day when things are better and change, there's still snow and it's like, that's life. There can still be snow and you can still make the best of it.
He walks out and kind of all his annoyances are gone.
Yeah. It's, and you only see them.
You only see them.
You don't see Mrs. Lannister. You don't see anybody. Yeah.
Not to see the ground. He's not in the hall.
The piano teacher. Like, we're going to Gobbler's Knob. Like,
there's no cars. It's just them. And peace. Yes. And he has a completely different attitude. He's like, let's move here. We'll rent at first.
Which is
you know.
Cute.
And love she's that probably he like,
wants okay. nothing to do but get out of that town. And then the very end, he's like, let's live here. Let's yeah. do this.
And if you do notice, he does start to change things when Rita says, it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
She really changes his perspective.
Yeah. Which is what you're hoping for the whole time because she has that positive outlook. I do think, especially here in California, because we don't even get winter, like, at all. I feel like Christmas happens. And then just, like, by the end of January, it's, like, swimsuits on the racks. It's, like, it's just immediately, like, forced on you. And so I like that this movie comes at this time. I know that's silly, but, like, it's not only, like, kind of keeps a little bit of that winter spirit, but because it's a rom-com, I mean, it kind of gets you excited for Valentine's Day, too. So it's yeah. just a cute, sweet, yeah, cute, sweet seasonal movie.
This movie was highly rated.
Mm-hmm.
It has like a 96% or 97% on Rotten yeah. Tomatoes. Robert Ebert, it's like one of his favorite films. And
I mean, in the BOB, it's arguably Bill Murray's best role ever. So.
It is. Yes, it's... It's just a movie. It's classic. Everyone knows it. Everyone loves it. There's really nothing wrong mm-hmm. with the movie. What makes me so upset is that this put a damper on the friendship of Bill Murray and Harold Ramis.
I did read that.
To the tune that they didn't speak for over 20 years.
20 years? Oh, I thought not it was until, like
not
a handful
until his
of
deathbed.
Years.
So what happened That's was so during sad. The filming of this movie, Bill Murray was going through a divorce.
Right.
So he was not in a good mood.
Which is very interesting.
Yes, because
given
of
that this is about going through hell.
Change.
Yeah, and going through change. And how do you look at that? How are you in
and
that?
And how annoying this movie probably was to film. It was probably very frustrating. And it's so sad to me that, you know, it tarnished their friendship. I mean, they did Stripes and Ghostbusters and Caddyshack, and they had a huge history before those movies.
Yeah.
In, you know, Second City, and, you know, I'm glad they made their peace, but that's just, like, so heartbreaking to see this longstanding friendship kind of go awry. And this product.
Right.
It's, like, so it wasn't a flop. It wasn't, like, this, like, oh, because Caddyshack was kind of ridiculous.
And there were things in this they wanted to purposely not remind people of Caddyshack. So there were certain scenes they cut and things they purposely did not
do. Thank God they used a real groundhog and not a puppet.
They went as far as to raise that family of groundhogs.
They're like, we learned our lesson.
Yeah. Overall, we are huge fans of this movie. I, for one, look forward to watching it with you every year. This is like our tradition.
Yeah.
It's
with
just
our
so good.
Sweet Vermouth on the Rocks with a Twist.
Yes. Well, folks, here at Salem and Binks Present, we like to have a little drinking game to go along with every movie we cover. So here is our random drinking game for Groundhog Day. Bree, what is your first drinking game request?
Well, to start off just from the beginning of every morning, I would say take a sip anytime the clock strikes six.
Ooh, yes. When you see it.
Yeah,
happen.
This movie's always made me want one of those alarm clocks.
Well, you know what's funny is my mom always had one. And I
you
hated
don't seem
it.
Happy about it.
No, I hated it. Take a sip whenever you hear someone say gobbler's knob. You'll need a sip for that. That is a mouthful. Literally.
I also like the waiting to hear something concept. So I put take a sip every time someone says the word groundhog.
Oh, yeah. Because everyone is anticipating it. They're asking about it.
Yeah, it is said a lot in the movie, whether it's about the actual groundhog or the day.
Yeah.
It gets mentioned quite a bit.
Take a shot when he kidnaps the groundhog, Phil. When Phil kidnaps Phil.
Every time Phil steps in the puddle.
Oh, I like that. I was going to say, down your drink during the whole sequence when Rita is slapping
Phil. That was my
Phil. Yeah. Over and over. And it's funny because at some point, I think it's on the first day, he says, or the second day, he's like, I need you to slap me real hard, please, or something.
Yeah, she does.
And she does later, for sure.
I would just say finish your drink at the last 6 o'clock when the music changes and he's realizing it's tomorrow.
Aw, I love it. It's so cute.
I mean, the movie is almost over.
Yeah.
You gotta finish that drink.
It's been him and so many characters, so many people, and then it ends with just the two of them having their moment. And it's really special and sweet and snowy.
You know what totally takes me out of it, though, is their kissing first thing in the morning.
Thank you guys so, so much for joining us. We are so happy to be kicking off this new year. Again, please send in requests for movies that you want us to cover. We will be super excited to do that. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you, Bree.
Thank you.
For being here and for kicking ass and watching this movie with me.
Thank you for the kitten for sleeping the whole time.
Thank you, Fiona.
Jumping on my notes.
Yeah, she was actually pretty well behaved. She's eating kibbles, but she
she didn't try to chew on the cords.
I know. Thank you, Boo. Thank you so much, Bijan, my big brother and our big sponsor, for supporting us and for this fantastic equipment. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest. Don't forget to visit the website. You can go ahead and sign up for the email list and or become a member.
You know, and not just pushing this, but Nina does really put some cool stuff up. And, you know, there's drinks and the drinking game. There's kind of some fun facts and photos. So definitely check that out. The Instagram is fun to follow if you're into that.
If you're into that. I do have a lot of fun working on the blog. I just have to find more time to do it. But yeah, any kind of holiday related anything, I mean, send in a request, comment, email. You know, we'll either use that info and pertain it to the podcast for movies to cover, and or we will mention stuff in the blog, and hopefully I'll get some suggestions for even more new holiday related blog posts. So keep the info coming.
Yeah, we're open to obscure holidays and movies we haven't seen. I mean, that's really fun. Bad movies, good movies, you know, like Donut Day, or like bring your daughter to work.
Yeah, like National Donut Day. When is that? And where's the movie for it? You found
it. It's a real song.
Sing it, girl.
It started, it's granted, it's now number one. For Pennsylvania Polka. Doot, doot. I never knew the words. I would only hear Pennsylvania Polka. And
I love the moment where Rita says to Phil, it's been great. People have been drinking and singing and then camping out. And then they warm come up.
And then back. They sing some more. They're hicks, Rita. Yeah, Rita, they're hicks, yeah, or whatever.
Rita, yeah, the way he says it is so, like, matter of fact. And she's that precious, like, hopeful spirit.
Yeah. I would love a town like that. That has a very, like, Stars Hollow-y, like, small town. Everyone knows each other with a gazebo.
Sense of community, and it's charming and cute.
Gobbler's Knob.
Gobbler's Knob. We're going to Gobbler's Knob.
To see the groundhog. I love that lady where he's like, yeah. What's ever going? She's like, duh. Like, Gobbler's Knob.